Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom. Today is Sunday, May 29th, and the year is 2022. I'm doing a podcast late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, so I can get ahead of the game. You're probably noticing that you probably got a notification if you're subscribed that there was a podcast, and then I took it down. I only had a couple of people actually listen to it, and I'm pretty sure one of them was the Department of Defense, and or at least somebody in Naval Intelligence did, because that's the only people that listen to my stuff anyway. I took it down because I was adding to the narrative, and I didn't want to be one of those people that that more or less stated the obvious, because nobody listens to me anyway. Nobody cares. And being one of those people that just, you know, look, I mean, here's the thing. I was way ahead of the curve. I was saying things that came out to be true. And I was right. You know, I was right. But no one listens. So, you know, why even bother? I just decided, you know, I'm just going to yank this. And because at the end of the day, as it would turn out, we would find out that the New York shooter had been in touch with a retired FBI agent, and along with some other ones in part of a Discord chat group that was all about race and all this other stuff. And they were programming and grooming him and all this other stuff to go off and do something stupid. And this is the thing, is that if you honestly believe for one fucking moment that your government is always telling you the truth and never lies to you, you're part of the problem. You're definitely part of the problem. You should probably not vote. And you should definitely, definitely never offer an opinion, because it isn't yours anyway. Because I'm going to tell you, for I had my wake up during the Oklahoma City bombing, when Timothy McVeigh and John Doe number 2 blew up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City. And I remember hearing all about that. And then I remember the conspiracy theories that came out after that. And I was like, oh, well, this is kind of, you know, whatever. And then those things gained a lot of traction. And then somebody wrote a book. And then I read that book. And then all of a sudden, fast forward to 9/11. And a lot of the same players were involved in 9/11, as were the Oklahoma City bombing. And then I was like, you know, this is starting to stink, you know. And then of course, as we've gotten further and further, Bill Cooper wrote about school shootings and stuff like that. And of course, he died after exposing some stuff, some criminal stuff. And then he was shot to death in his driveway. And the more I thought about all of this stuff and how fucked up everything is, I realized that maybe, just maybe, I don't need to be adding to it. Because there's enough ugliness in the world. There's enough disaffected loners out there who lose their basket because they're not loved enough, they're not stable enough, and they have a lot of people who they think are their friends who aren't, who are putting ideas in their head that they shouldn't, because they want to spin somebody up so that they can, you know, watch the horrors unfold. I went off on a tear about this the other day with someone that I know, and he was like, dude, you know, where did you totally predicted this. And, well, I mean, all of this, I didn't predict the school shooting, but I predicted some of the things that were going to come out. And I was like, well, it's because I've seen this before. I've seen it before. I've seen it time and time again. And once you see it time and time again, you either learn that there's a pattern to everything or you don't. And there's a pattern here. So I was like, okay, well, at any rate, I find myself to be in a position where I just don't want to, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be one of those guys that's just a news reader. You know what I mean? It's like Art Bell. He had interviews with people and he had guests on, and he, you know, and he would mostly just talk about the things that other people were already talking about. And I thought, you know, it would be really kind of fun. Create original content. More or less just to watch, see how many people steal it. Because that's the world we live in. I've got some people out there in California that seem to be just totally fixated on this website, as well as my work. And I don't know what's going on out there in Moreno Valley or Riverside, but I can tell you right now, whoever you are, all 12 or 13 of you in that one little enclave, I appreciate you guys doing the downloads. I mean, I'm up to 18 hits on one particular show. That's amazing. That's dedication. That's awesome. I'm not complaining. I'm just surprised that there's a small group of people in one place on Earth, and they all listen at the exact same time. It's a little unusual. I have friends that listen to this stuff that I know locally. There's like two. And then there's the rest of you who, maybe it's iTunes or something like that. Maybe it's them. It's hard to say. I don't know. I've had this feeling today that I think that I was put on this earth for a number of things and a number of reasons, all of which I have no idea about. I have no idea what the universe was thinking when it said, you know what, I'm just going to give this person life and I'm going to send him out into the wild. And he's just going to report back what he finds and what he sees. Because I don't know if I'm supposed to be walking around in a perpetual state of confusion or not. It's like yesterday, the day before on Friday, I was gonna take the kid, one of my kids, one of my four-legged children, out to do a Randonautica thing because I need to get out of the house, and because I can't take them both because my female dog is in season and she's not in season. She's in the hey, how you doing season. And I'm like, oh, no, we can't have that. So now I've got them separate but equal. They're both really pissed off at me, you know, because I'm not letting them do the horizontal. Well, it's not horizontal. I mean, technically it's, you know, the word I'm looking for here. When two dogs are doing it, you know, God, that's just dumb. It's dumb to be laughing about it. But the thing is that I am living every parent's nightmare. And suddenly I feel like I owe a lot of women's dads an apology. Starting from about high school on, you know. Just like say, you know, I totally get it. I understood why you didn't want me to date your daughter. I completely get it, and I apologize, you know. And no, I wasn't just interested for just sex. I mean, she was great at everything else. She was wonderful. She was just, but you know, the thing of it is that with this one here, this is a purely, you know, booty call thing with these two dogs, and it's just like, I've had to yell at my dog to just quit licking the other one and in the backyard, and everyone thinks that I'm like, you know, some kind of crazy dog parent now because I'm just losing my shit at these dogs. And I'm like, would you just quit it? Just get out of her butt, you know, and just, God. And the thing of it is I called a vet and I can't get him in for a month. I have to deal with this for a month, you know, or and it just, oh my God. But Friday was like this big changeover for me. It's like, there's like, I don't know if it's Mercury in retrograde, because that's everyone's default setting when things aren't going right. well, Mercury must be in retrograde again. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. It can't always be in retrograde. Christ in heaven, it's a planet, for fuck's sake. It doesn't just change directions. But anyway, I was gonna take Radar the dog to go do some Randonautica stuff, and normally, you know, if I'm getting something to go, I'll just go through the drive-thru. But today I felt like going inside because I didn't want to wait in the drive-thru. It was a little warm, you know, and I didn't want to subject my dog to that. And so I go inside, and this woman who waits on me all the time in the drive-thru suddenly decides that she needed to flex on me her attitude and her authority muscles. Radar's a service dog. He keeps me on this planet. You know, that's it. You know, I don't have to explain it to anyone. You know, it's like, if I have a service dog, I have a service dog. It's not your fucking business. It goes against any HIPAA rules. You can't actually ask me whether or not he's a service dog. Besides that, my dog has never pissed or shit in your fucking store. So what is the problem? Because I've had him in here at least no less than 100 times in the last, you know, couple of years. So what is today's problem? And then, you know, and it's just like, why on earth, me of all people, because you know who I am, why was it suddenly okay to be this belligerent person to me? And then I was like, you know what? Because then the more I looked at and analyzed the situation, it suddenly became about the dog. And I was like, you know what, just keep your coffee. And I think I even paid for it, too. I think I actually paid for the coffee. I just walked out without it. I didn't give a shit. Because, I mean, if you're gonna be belligerent to me, if you're going to be shitty to me over my dog, my service dog, fuck you. I can go get coffee anywhere. So I go ahead and I tell this friend of mine who actually works for the same company. And then they tell their manager, or they tell this other person in common. And I'm just like, you know what? Just, I don't think it's going to matter anyway, because I think the one person in that store that I kind of know is probably going to tell that manager anyway about the fuck up that somebody made and how pissed off I was when I fucking left. So it's all going to get corrected, but I'm just not going to go there anymore. You know, and the reason why is because it's one thing to ask somebody a prying question. It's an entirely a different thing to know who you're talking to. You see, I don't just bring, you know, my dog in there because, you know, I had a psychological need to drag him with me because, you know, I didn't want to leave him in a hot car. And my dog is incredibly well behaved. You know, I take him into Target. Nobody bats an eye. You know, because he's like the coolest dog ever. Everybody loves him. You know, or maybe they're just humoring me because I look like, you know, I could lose my shit at any minute. I don't do these things just to arbitrarily piss people off. I do these things because, well, for one, my dog's well behaved and you can say hello. He's friendly. And dogs tend to make people, you know, happy. Unless you are someone who has a profound fucking problem with dogs. Which means I don't have to fucking like you. But I'm going off the rails here. But it was at that moment on that Friday that I realized that there was a paradigm shift here that I was unaware of. And so for whatever reason, I'm like, okay, I'm not coming back because I don't want to see this person again. I don't want to go to any Caribou and see this person again. And the reason why is because I don't want to hear their fucking apology. And I know, and that's the other thing, is that I also know there won't be an apology coming because here in Minnesota, it's your fault anyway. Even when somebody else fucks up, it's still kind of your fault. Like, no, it isn't. you know, but whatever, you know. I'm running into a lot of strange things like that. I've got, like, you know, some friends that are flaking out, and I've got one good friend that I chatted with today, and I got to grouse a little bit, and he got to grouse too, and we got some grousing out of our systems respectively, and it was like a very cathartic conversation for both of us. Now I'm sure that the NSA has listened to plenty of our talking and are probably, you know, working on a game plan on how to better neutralize us separately. I'm only half kidding. They're not going to go after him. He's an upstanding citizen. Me, I'm the riffraff. Oh, God. But I don't have much of a sense of humor today, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that I've had two animals kind of tax my emotional budget, and I started to realize some things about myself. Perhaps I would not have been a good parent. maybe I think I would have failed out of being a good parent. And I started to really analyze that, and suddenly I was like, you know, maybe, just maybe, that whole feeling bad about not raising any kids, perhaps I should just throw that shit right out the window, because to be perfectly frank, if I have problems just dealing with two dogs, I can only imagine what it must be like dealing with children. Because the one side about having dogs and cats is that, you know, at any given moment, you can make them disappear and nobody will really ask any questions. Children, on the other hand, well, you know, you make one or two of those disappear and next thing you know, you're on trial. You know, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I mean, here's the thing is that knowing what kind of genetics that I would have given rise to, man. Let's just say that perhaps Margaret Sanger was maybe right, just a little, you know, because the last thing the world needs is more of me in it, you know. I was kind of like an asshole. And if I had to raise another version of me, oh, my God. I'd be like, you know, come on, aliens. You can take the kid. No, really. Just take him. Beware of him. He can take many forms, the little Satan, you know, monster creature that he is. What do you mean? What? We got a whole dozen of them up there that are half mutating, you know, hybrid children? Oh, you had the ability to factor the evil out of it before it took hold. Oh, okay. That's great. Didn't see you guys intervening in on this kid's behalf, did you? Dropped the ball with that one, didn't you, Kevin? Anyway, all kidding aside, though, because I make a lot of jokes about alien abduction, even though it's not really that funny. I've been kind of hoping that maybe, just maybe, maybe one of them will just somehow, like, you know, I'm just going to take pity on this guy. Just take him up and put him in our intergalactic preserve, you know, where he can run wild and free and, you know, get into trouble in the woods. And then when he has to fight the Arumvirax, you know, using only sticks and rocks, we'll see how he fares. See if he wants to come back to Earth. At least here on Earth, he has a fighting chance with firearms. There are things that I root for. And lately it's been, you know, come on, asteroid. Let's swipe that slate clean, you know, just... Let's give people something to really worry about, you know, before we go, you know, quietly into that good night after having gone extinct from stupidity. I mean, every single problem that we've got in the world is because we've allowed stupidity to flourish. You don't believe me? Take a good hard look. If we'd started removing the safeties off of everything, natural selection would have had a chance to do its job. And we wouldn't have a lot of these dumb people in positions of power. We wouldn't have dumb people, you know, period. If we would have just simply said, you know, back during the Pleistocene era when we were still fighting, you know, saber-toothed tigers and things like that, and a dire wolf and mammoths and things like, you know, that would have eaten giant spiders for that matter. We could have just simply, you know, like, you know what? That guy's a fucking tard. He's going to get us all killed. why don't we just run a little faster than that guy, or maybe hobble him, tie him up in some way, you know, leave him there while we leave and get just, you know, we're getting rid of some bad DNA right there. You could just focus on tribal purity. Let's make ourselves better, stronger, faster, smarter. And let's do it in a hurry by not keeping around the morons. Christ in heaven, we could have flying cars by now. I mean, like real ones, you know, like ones that won't crash and shit. You know, not everything can be a Tesla, you know, but, oh my God. I've had one of those days where I've tried to get some work done. I did achieve the unthinkable. So this car that I had to fix, it's a tiny import, and apparently during the winter, the backing out of the garage, there was a big ice berm, and I think the exhaust might have gotten hung up on a big chunk of ice and may have popped it out of one of these hangers. So when I went to back out the other day, it hung it up really good, and then it bent the front pipe that attached to the catalytic converter. And so I sat there, had it taken over to the shop. They told me a price that I was apoplectic over, and all I could think to myself is like, are we talking like pesos, or are we talking like real dollars here? You know, and not because the guy was Hispanic, because he wasn't, he was white, but it's just like, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and there's a lot of zeros here, more so than there should be. $1,300 for a part, for a piece of metal, a piece of bent metal. $1,300. Then there's the honorific labor, another 4 to 6 hours, depending on what else could possibly be wrong. And then I sat there and I was like, I'm sorry, do you take me for a fool, sir? You know, my first thought was like, clearly this guy has misread me completely. Because I'm pretty sure at no point in this conversation did I come off like, just give me the manager's special. You know, I'm not a stupid man. I get my hands dirty on I own a fucking Jeep outside of this other little thing. And I'm going to tell you, once you own a Jeep, you're not taking a screwing from anyone at the dealership. I promise you that. Well, it'll be, you need 5 lug nuts, and you need some power window fluid. Oh, yeah, you need some blinker fluid, too. That's got to be changed, and that's $180 a quart. And then, you know, by the time we have to get anything done, you know, you're looking at about $4,000. That's what Jeep ownership is like when you go to the dealership. When you own a Jeep, and you've got your blood, sweat, and tears, and everything else into it, and most of your sanity, you know, you can find solutions for less than $50 most of the time, unless you're buying parts from a dealership. Then it's like, well, you brought this on yourself, son. You know, it's like, oh, well, did you really? You know, so anyway, getting back to this other fucking travesty that I dealt with, I had this tool. It's called a come along. And it's like this ratcheting cable thing. And what it does is that I was actually going to use it to move. Once I got one side of my Jeep done, I was actually going to bolt it to the other side of the garage and then use it to pull the dollies that my Jeep is sitting on across to the other wall. And then, you know, do the front and do the back and then, you know, and then all the way over. Because pushing that thing over an uneven surface on little dolly wheels is stupid. I don't have enough beer or friends to help me pull that off. You know, it's just bullshit. And so anyway, I use this come along thing and I'm like, you know, let me look at this thing and let me look at it like I'm looking at a Jeep problem. And sure enough, I realized that the people at the dealership were fucking me. They were fucking me in a way that was probably Japanese because it's a Japanese car. And so I sat there and I looked at this. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. It's going to take 3 weeks to get the fucking part. And then you're going to charge me fucking $1,300 to $1,700 to replace it. And I did this mental math inside my head. And it took me more time to jack the car up because this thing it's got a unibody construction. There's no like real frame. And so when you jack it up, I mean, you hear all these little weird sounds and you're like, oh Christ, is this just going to fall apart? Is this thing made out of plastic? What the fuck is this thing made out of? You know, I've got Tonka trucks that look a little more stable than this thing, you know, but anyway, I got underneath of it. And here's some irony, too, because I've got some fairly broad shoulders. But anyway, with this jack, having this thing up in the air as far as it can go, and then on top of that, a jack stand to make sure that it wasn't going to go anywhere, I still couldn't get underneath of this fucking car. And it's like, are my shoulders that wide? Do I fill up a door? And then sure enough, I realized that, you know, I do fill up a door. I mean, I'm kind of a broad-shouldered guy, you know, I didn't realize that. And I mean, and then there's a lot of other things that came to mind after I did this, because after I jacked the car up and I realized that that's all that's fucked up on this thing is that it's not actually on the hanger. It's clanging. And the reason why it's clanging is because it got bent after it fell off the hanger. And so anyway, with 5 minutes worth of work with this little thing called the come along. 5 minutes, done. Got the thing back on the hanger, started it up, no more clanging, no more banging, no more noise, no more bullshit. And the exhaust no longer drags or any of that stuff, and it's perfectly fine. So I'm thinking to myself, because I have this conspiracy theory, what would have happened if I would have taken it in there? And then they said, oh yeah, your parts came in early. And these assholes had done the same thing that I did with a $29 tool from fucking Home Depot, because that's all it took. That's all it took was this tool that I've had for 5 years. I've used it five times and it's paid for itself. I mean, it literally has paid for itself. So the more tools you have, the more problems you can solve or create, depending on whichever, you know, way you want to go. But anyway, I fixed this fucking car and I sat there just irritated, not because I succeeded, but because the potential for fuckery is there at every turn. I mean, it's like, you know, I remember when mechanics would be like, well, you know, we could do it this way, or we can do it your way, which is inexpensive and cheap. And sure, it may not be a perfect fit, but it will work. Because mechanics used to solve problems, not just change parts. Like, hey, you know what? I know you need your car. Let's get you back on the road. And there are some honest mechanics out there. There truly are. And I knew this one guy who he doesn't do any of my work anymore because I don't. He's over there in Richfield, but he's got a BP station over there, and he's a great guy. But anyway, long story short, that guy's an honest mechanic. And people he's got working with him are honest people. Got some good folks over there. And because this guy could have taken me to the cleaners the one time, but I trusted him. And by trusting that guy, I never went anywhere else. And so anyway, but once I moved over here and I started to deal with my own problems, I started solving my own problems. And then I also at the same time started creating a lot more, because then every time that you solve a problem that requires tools, it creates a problem of storage. And like the wood chipper that I picked up because I needed it, I now have a lot less space in my garage to work. So, I mean, it's like these are tools that you acquire and you use them when you need them. Like the wood chipper, oh, that's definitely something I'm going to keep using, because a lot of dead branches. Every storm, trees, leaves, all that stuff, mulch, a lot easier to deal with this thing. So it was definitely the right choice. The leaf blower, only for the sheer amusement factor that I get to make a lot of noise at 7 o'clock in the morning, along with the weed eater. The lawnmower, another tool that every American should have. If you own your own property and you have to mow a yard, these are tools that you acquire over time. And this is starting to sound like Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood, you know, where it's like the Asian kid next door is like, man, where'd you get all these fucking tools? Well, I acquired these over a lifetime of experiences of needing to fix shit. And then I suddenly realized, fuck, that's who I'm turning into. I'm turning into fucking Walt Kowalski. It's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. I'm going to be that old guy with a grizzled dog on the porch, and I'll be like telling people to get off my lawn. My God. I never thought I would be that guy, but here I am. But yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here bitching about stupid shit. And I'm not really bitching about it so much as I'm trying to find a purpose in this life, in this world, because I don't seem to have one right now. I have a lot of potential, but I don't feel like I really have much of a purpose. And the reason why I don't feel like I have much of a purpose is because day by day, there's less and less room for people like me in this world. See, I'm not one of these people that's willing to give up my rights and freedoms just because it makes somebody else feel safe. I'm not willing to give up my property rights because some rich fucker that owns BlackRock or some other goddamn financial institution thinks they can run my life better than I can. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. Why don't you go choke on a bag of dicks there, Klaus? You and your clown posse of cuckolds. Nice Halloween costume you got there, freak show. You know, there are things that I value more than anything else, and the biggest one is my freedom, my ability to speak my mind, my ability to defend myself against tyrants, whether they be the local street thug or my disproportionately tyrannical government at times. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, if you don't think that the day is ever going to come when your government is too powerful and just is going to fuck up your shit, we're already there. When you've got politicians freely and openly calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment, then they're also calling for a repealing of the First Amendment. They want to be able to censor you on any social platform, rewrite your tweets for you and stuff like that. I experienced that a couple of times on a couple of forums I used to be on, and I didn't like it very much then, and I certainly fucking wouldn't want to tolerate it now. Of course, I'm not really on social media. I've got a couple of websites, and that's it. But fuck everything else. You know, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to subject my thinking to other people, you know, and then have it be, you know, psychoanalyzed and then rewritten so that other people can digest it without being offended? If I didn't want to offend you, I wouldn't say half the shit I do, you know. It's like, come on. That's the whole point of being alive. You know, you tell the truth and stop giving a shit about other people and how they might take it. Just because it's the truth doesn't mean that, you know, it can't be offensive. You know, it's, you know, sure, I mean, there are probably ways of saying, you know, I think you stink. I mean, physically, I think that you need to make friends with soap and water. There are ways that you can say something to somebody like, you know, you really need a bath, or you really need to stop pretending that, you know, you're doing the will of the people when you're selling me out. You know, I don't have to frame my words in such a way that you can't go, you know, that you have to, you know, it's just, if I tell you the truth and it hurts your fucking feelings, well, guess what? You brought it out of me. That's the truth. See, I don't recall ever a time in my life where anyone ever who told me the truth about what they thought or what they believed gave an honest flying fuck on a rolling donut about my fucking feelings. And I'm not saying that, you know, those people were right or wrong, or that, you know, I have a right to be an asshole because of it. I'm saying that there are times and places where you have to tell the truth, and it has to be painful, because otherwise people won't understand. It's like I tried to explain to my father one time about why he was a shitty father. And he found 50 reasons why I was wrong, because the truth hurt him, you know? And the thing of it is, I didn't tell him the truth to hurt him. I told him the truth because this is the shit that I had to live with as a kid. And I got tired of hearing, you know, him gaslighting me. And he didn't like it. But these are the kind of people that they have their own truth. They have their own truth, and it doesn't matter what you tell them. They're always just going to shut you off anyway. And so that's the problem that we have in this country right now. We've got too many people that, you know, I saw this tenured professor saying you should never debate certain people that hold contrary beliefs to your own, because their values are, you know, their words and their values are not worth dignifying. And all I could think to myself is, like, you know what? I'd like to walk up to you and knock that Robin Hood hat off of your fucking face and punch you as hard as I can right in the junk, just so that way you don't reproduce and have a bunch of children that are as fucking retarded as you. See, that's the thing about political discourse. It's meant to be unfriendly. It's meant to be offensive. And the reason why is because sometimes when somebody is, like, you know, trying to gaslight you, bullshit you, and try to lead you on a path that's to your own demise, maybe, just maybe, telling the truth and being aggressive about it will get them to stop and maybe self-reflect, become self-aware, and go, oh, you know, I held a contrary belief. I'm sorry, I was wrong. But you won't see that happen with any socialists, because they're always right, because nobody's ever tried real, you know, nobody's ever had real socialism. Like communism, nobody's ever had any real communism. But you know what? You don't see them talking about Nazism that way. That wasn't real Nazism. Oh, yes, it was. You know, it's just, but the thing of it is that these national socialists, these assholes, the same guys that are, you know, it's you know, they say that the history doesn't repeat, but it definitely rhymes. And it's, I mean, it's the same shit over and over again. You know, this is the reason why I root for either alien abduction, Bigfoot love slave in captivity, maybe that, or the big cleaning slate of the asteroid. Robots from the future would also probably be good. I would be okay with that. Lizard people resorting to eating the human race. That would be another one I think I could get behind. I just don't know. Zombie apocalypse, I'm prepared for that one. That's so cliche. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, that'd probably be okay. I could do all right with there. You know, I can run around in a leather thong. Nobody needs to see that. It'd be akin to, no, you know what? No, that's a visual nobody needed to think of. And I say that because let's just say for the sake of argument that I had donuts for breakfast. The diet thing has not taken hold like it should. And it would if I wasn't eating my fucking feelings. But that's just the week that I've had, because, like I said, I've had to scream at my dogs like they're a couple of drunken teenagers on prom night. How you doing? No, how you doing? I'm like, oh, God. So it's just, you know, it's been a rough week. but it'll get better. I know it will because, you know, I mean, it can always get worse too, but I'm kind of an optimist, I guess. I've made it this far in life without being electrocuted, crushed by a car, killed by my own cooking. I think I'm doing okay. My dogs like me, mostly. I've got plants that I've kept alive. I've done my own electrical work. I did my own dental work for a number of years. I self-medicate using natural supplements, not drugs or anything, or any weed or any of that stuff. That's for amateurs. No, I actually read labels, and I probably could have a degree in pharmacology if I applied myself. Plus, I've got aliens that abduct me to monitor my health every once in a while. They're probably going to do that here fairly soon. His blood pressure's up. We need to go see him. One of those things again. Oh, it's just the dogs. Never mind. Totally understand. Sorry about the blue light. Oh, your heart rate's up again. Sorry about that, buddy. Whoa, man, we feel bad about that. Just okay. Just calm down. Put on some mood music. You want some orange slices? Maybe some fetal spooning, something like that. We'll cuddle up with you. Tuck you in, put you back in your bed. Oh my God. Yeah, it would be really nice if the aliens would just leave me some memories. And I'm not talking about just the ones inside my head. I'm just talking about maybe some group selfies. On board the ship. All three of us standing outside, with our fingers pointing up at the air and the flying saucer there for, us there in the frame for perspective and, and then just waving, Look at all my alien hybrid children that I've created over the last 30 years. They've been abducting me. It's just, I keep hoping one of these days that all of that stuff inside my head will just, I'll wake up and go, oh, it was only a dream. And then, but I don't know. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. What I worry about is that, like on my deathbed and as my life passes before my eyes, that I'm treated to all of those horrors all over again of having sex with aliens. And then, no, this was real. This really happened. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be afflicted with that on my way out, I want to have some good memories between now, maybe not just reruns of Flipper, from the TV show. Just something for me to hang on to as an Earthman as I go and into that great beyond, into that void, and reincarnated in as some other hopefully better version of me that works out a lot more. Or, maybe an alien species this time. Something with a little more upward mobility in its career path. Something adorable that's not edible. I don't want to be a prey animal. I want to be kind of in that middle of the apex food chain thing, not the great white shark, but maybe something, something that's cute when it's a puppy, dangerous as an adult, and not on anybody's menu. That would be good. That would be a rumvirax, bears maybe, wolves. Nobody eats wolves. Coyotes, though, they shoot the shit out of those. Owls. Owls are absolutely horrifying. Apparently, they kill people. According to Netflix. But what do I know about that? If you haven't seen the new Ben Kenobi thing on Disney, I would recommend it. So that way, you too can have your intelligence insulted by finding out that they've basically plagiarized just about every script in Hollywood over the last 30 years. With the same dialogue, same tone, same, acting style as various actors who spoke these lines once before. Oh, I know that that sounds like I'm being a dick, but that's the truth, especially in the second episode. The second episode, right then and there, you'll be like, oh, I've heard this dialogue somewhere before. I just can't place it. Oh, wait, yes, I can. And then, you know, so I don't know how I feel about it. Saw the new Batman movie, which I was dead set against watching. And then I broke down because I had nothing better to do. And I wanted to feel good about me because I knew that if anybody was going to make a Batman movie and have it be terrible, it was going to be these guys. And I was pleasantly surprised. It was actually a good movie. And the Batmobile was super cool. It made me want to go ahead and build something out of nothing with a giant engine and a whole lot of horsepower, but I'd only be able to drive it about like 8 blocks before I have to come back to the garage because gas prices are that high. Good movie, though, otherwise. A couple of things I thought could have been lightened up a little bit, but the social justice angle, I think they could have dialed that down a little bit. But, you know, these are little things. Trying to think of what else. Nothing new and exciting in the world of astronomy or science fiction or the paranormal. I was going to do some Randonautica stuff, but I think I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait until my Jeep is fixed so that way I can do off-road stuff and maybe get into some more interesting adventures as opposed to just the stuff that's on the street. And I want to do some stuff that's out in the middle of nowhere. Because you never know what you're going to find in the middle of nowhere. That's what I really want. I want to get away from the cities and get away from the technology and just be one with the earth for a while. That's a goal. I think that's a goal everyone should have. 2 weeks, nothing but you and the planet in an adversarial combat. Fight or die against the earth, against the elements, against whatever the earth can throw at you, whether it be colostomy bags from an airplane or polar bears that wandered up from wherever the hell it is that they're from, up north. Technically, it'll be coming south. But penguins, on the other hand, penguins. That's a big shout out to you, Bill, penguins. Oh, a joke. Forgot. So, because one of my Iowa listeners sent this to me, and I thought it was actually fucking hilarious. What is Bigfoot's favorite exercise? What is Bigfoot's favorite exercise? Sasquats. I know that's, it's like the ultimate dad joke, but goddamn, it wasn't funny. I know it sounds stupid. I've heard so many of these dad jokes, but I thought that one was just, it's perfect. It's paranormal and kind of dovetails with the rest of the whole idea of being abducted by Bigfoot's girlfriend. I mean, you know, I've dated some women that, you know, didn't landscape or glanscape or whatever you want to call it. But you know, that sometimes happens. Bohemian women are what they are. Gosh, I shouldn't have brought that up. That sounds really trivial. And it's been a long fucking day and I need to find something better to do. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put a pin in the show. I appreciate you listening. If you need to go call a therapist after listening to this, I don't blame you. I appreciate your time and indulgence. And I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Take care.